We've all been greatly blessed by the hymnist Frances Havergal, and she has written a number of hymns that reflect her understanding of what it meant to really walk with the Lord. And she always took New Year's Day extremely seriously, and she used it as a time of reflection and often composed a poem to send to her friends expressing her feelings about the new year coming up. The one that she wrote in 1874 has become immortal. She was 36 at the time, and she dashed off this poem and had it printed on a specially designed greeting card to be sent to her friends. The card was captioned, "A Happy New Year, ever such may it be." And here's the poem. "Another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be. In working or in waiting, another year with Thee. Another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving Thy presence all the days." The key to Frances Ridley Havergal. You know, it used to be we would give the year coming up would be 2024 AD, the year of our Lord. It's not used today, but it is still true. 2024 needs to be the year for us of our Lord. But this time that we're in, as we look over the horizon into a new year, we need to realize that we have a will, and it's going to be based upon choices that we make. On Christmas Day, 1849, a party of 27 wagons broke over a barren ridge and skidded downhill into the desolate southeast of Mount Whitney. A scorched, tormented land burned before the pioneers. Their caravan decided to split up. A number of bachelors called the Jayhawkers went north, and some families and a few single men moved south. In just a couple of days, the Jayhawkers found the way out and were on their way. Unfortunately, the other group found themselves trapped, trudging miserably day after day to reach the impassable mountains that were in front of them. Had it not been for a couple of them that had broken through some of that and gotten into California and gotten some help, that entire group would have perished, for they had found themselves in Death Valley. You know, it's amazing. One direction or the other, one perspective or another can make all the difference in what happens in the days and months ahead. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, one of the three chapters of application of the great truths of what we have in Christ, specifically when it comes to what we have in this church age and in the local church itself. The Lord shows how He manifests His glory through the church. And you have the application, and you find a series of admonitions to walk worthy, chapter 4, verse 1, and then walk not, the second part of chapter 4, then walk in love, the beginning of this chapter, walk in light, and then we're going to look at the next walk. And so this is a section here on how to live in a way that pleases God and accomplishes what God wants us to accomplish. And so there's three things that are very key if we're going to see the blessing. And by the way, we're going to look at verses 15 through 17 primarily here, but verse 18 is the theme of the song service today, "Be filled with the Spirit." And if we're going to have that blessed reality of the presence of God understood by us in our lives, then the three things we're going to look at today from the previous three verses are very, very important. I'm going to read the verse just prior to these verses because it gives you the tone of what the Lord is speaking through the Apostle Paul and really the urgency of it. Verse 14, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Oftentimes we get lulled to sleep with the schedule and life routines that we have. And the one thing that can be very spiritually helpful is to let God awaken us as we begin a new year, realizing the value of time and the fact that this coming year, God has a very definite will for us, and we need to awake so that we can have the light that he's going to give. So let's now read verses 15 through 17. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And then it goes on, "Be not drunk with wine, word of success, but be filled with the Spirit." All right, here's the last walk that's in the book of Ephesians. Walk circumspectly, verse 15. It starts off with, "See ye then," or "see then that ye walk." This is an important command. The Holy Spirit here is drawing attention to the extreme importance of us being very just deeply moved by the reality that we must walk circumspectly. It has the idea to look or to observe. It's Paul's command for the believers to see that they walk carefully based upon the teaching that he had given. And it's very important in our distracted day that we see then. In other words, we observe this very important imperative that we are to walk circumspectly. One writer talked about when he was a boy, he was swimming and he decided to cross the creek at a place across on a log, and so he was going across there very carefully because it had branches sticking out. And then somebody distracted him, and he looked over, and he tripped on one of the branches sticking out. Now, he'd gotten over the creek, but it was worse than falling into the water. He fell into a bush of nettles with a bathing suit on. So it took him many an hour to begin to feel at least halfway decent. Well, this is even more of an urgency than that. Don't be distracted. Now, folks, is it possible in 2024 we might be distracted? Oh, I believe it is. We have, of course, the ever-present problem of the distraction of technology. That began back with the invention of the telephone, which really did change culture at that point. And now you've got everything. And so we have to be extremely diligent in so controlling how we think and live that indeed we can be still and know that he is God and be able to allow him to do the work that he wants to do. Also, because of technology, we have become a very clearly aware of world affairs, national affairs, and all the consequences of them and the potential problems that could be ahead. True? Is that distracting? Now, it's good to be informed, but unfortunately, I think we go out a lot of wrong windows in all of that. So this that was written back in the New Testament day is very applicable to us today here. See then. Very much should we stay focused on. It's our responsibility to be to understand we're the servants of the Lord and every aspect of our life is important. And in fact, that's the second thing I want to say here. It's a comprehensive application. That term walk is used. Walk circumspectly. It has to do with every part of our lives. I love Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord," and how did you receive him? By faith, So walk ye in him. Folks, I got great news for you. In 2024, you can walk in Christ every moment of every day. This is comprehensive. This covers every part of your life. This covers your family life. This covers your personal life. This covers your financial life. This covers your vocation. This covers, above all, your ministry and what God has for you. It is comprehensive. Every decision, every step you take can be by faith. And so here we have the fact that we have to be very concerned about every step in our life. And then it's an intense focus. The words circumspectly. Circumspect has the basic meaning of accurate and exact, and carries the associated idea of looking and examining and investigating something with great care. It also carries the idea of alertness. As believers walk through the spiritual minefield of the world, they are to be constantly alert to every danger that Satan puts in their way. Folks, the minute we think we're okay, we're in trouble. We are soldiers on duty all the time. We have been given the privilege of being God's men and women for this age. And so we're commanded here to make this the central focus, to, in every step of our life, walk carefully so that we do not make the decisions that will take us away from the will of God, cause us to have defeat in our lives, cause us to do things that will damage other people, but instead to allow the Spirit of God to do mighty things through our life. I've given the illustration whenever I've talked about circumspect that in many, many countries around the world, they have walls. You don't know how unusual it is to have neighborhoods here without walls, where you just have yards and a street. We just take that for granted. I mean, you don't find that very many other places. I mean, you got a solid stone wall or that kind of thing. And then on the top of them, inevitably, there's barbed wire or there's stone, sharp objects sticking up if anybody tried to scale that wall. And it's quite effective. And they got big steel gates and all of that. And a missionary used to talk about there was this cat that lived around his place, and he'd see that cat walking on top of his wall, able to have dexterity enough to very carefully miss all of the sharp objects. This is, I want you to note this, this was a positive illustration about a cat. Now, those of you that are newer, you haven't heard some of the things about cats. But anyway, this is a positive, and I'm showing forth their great dexterity and carefulness, okay? And I will not talk about other non-attributes that they have. But this is the idea that we are to walk very carefully. Now, I've taken time in the first part of this verse to let you see this is stated by the Spirit of God through Paul in a very strong manner. Don't allow your lives to be hurt by not having a careful, circumspect walk. You can't afford to have a bad day. You can't afford to make decisions just off the cuff. You can't just live according to common sense. It has to be a genuine walk with God where you are aware of His presence. The Word of God is dominating. This is the whole emphasis here. And so we should be very careful, because the minute we get into neutral, that's where things that just destroy Christians' lives will come in. And do note how it is stated. See then that you walk circumspectly so you won't be a fool. I paraphrased it. Not as fools. Did you know you as a Christian can be a fool? Every one of us have been there. Do you like feeling foolish? I don't. I hate doing foolish things. We've all done them. but especially a fool from a biblical perspective. So I want to look at the protective wisdom of God versus foolishness. The word fool commonly refers to a person who acts unintelligently and irresponsibly. But Scripture defines a fool as a person who says in his heart, there is no God, and who has moral corruption because of it. Now, here's what I want you to get. The fool is the person who lives apart from God, either as a theological or practical atheist, or as both, denying God in his actions as well as in his words. We believe that we're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, and God has allowed us to accept the wisdom that is from the Word of God, the good news of the gospel. But did you know, any moment that we live in a practical way as if there wasn't God, we are a fool. Thinking we can get away with something. Thinking that God doesn't see. Having a wrong attitude toward God. Now remember, something we have to understand about our flesh, we are born fools. I know that's not very flattering, and this is not one of these self-help times here. We want to look at the help that comes from the Word of God. We are born fools. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And every nursery worker says, amen, okay. every parent. And in that whole explanation of how mankind has degenerated in Romans chapter 1, you have professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You see, the natural man thinks wisdom is foolishness, and foolishness is wisdom. Now, folks, does that surprise you today? That's all you do is read that in mainstream types of media. I mean, the whole thought process, according to the Word of God, is foolishness. And anyone who holds to a biblical view is deemed a fool. And so we have to understand that, 1 Corinthians 2:14, that we've seen in our 1 Corinthians series, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, a fool sets up his own God. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Now, we look at the world in their own becoming their own God, but oh, believers, it can become so much a part of the Christian life. I've had a Christian tell me, well, I know the Bible says this, but I think this is best. Whoa. You know, I've just lost the ability to help somebody when that happens. Folks, there's only one way. There was only one way for you to be saved, and there's only one way for you to live. And God's so gracious to give it to us. It's not negative. It's wonderful. It's his protection. That's why I said protective wisdom. The wisdom of God is a gracious gift from one who paid the price for us. But it's amazing how we think we can determine right and wrong, and we have a tendency not to look very carefully for what God truly wants of us. Makes light of sin. Proverbs 14:9, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. And so the spiritually self-sufficient fool makes his own rules and justifies his own behavior, and that happens all the time. Then the fool's going to spread his own thinking. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. And the price that is paid for the way of the fool. The book of Proverbs just deals with it over and over. But we're to walk in wisdom. And so most of you know this. What is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord, a true submission to him, an understanding of how much he loves us, but who he is, and that he is right, and that his way is right, and that the minute we take our lives into our own hands, we have stepped out of wisdom, protection, and blessing, and we've stepped into our own way, and there are going to be major consequences if we do not turn and repent of the direction that we are going. So wisdom is the fear of God, of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And of course, it's centered in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that thou, Timothy, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. And so it's through the Word of God. Did you know we have everything we need for the step-by-step walk to be living according to God's will? One writer talks about in a Georgia town when he was growing up, they didn't have the electric lights at that time, and they would carry lanterns on the dark streets, and the light would only be enough for the next step, two or three. But it was enough to get them safely to where they needed to go because they had the light for the next step. And in the Word of God, and as you yield to it, as you allow God to work, as you get counsel, as the Spirit of God applies that to your heart and you're in fellowship with Him, you got all the light you need for each step of the way. And my friends, we'll end up being directly in the center of God's will if we live that way. So walk circumspectly is so important. But oftentimes a Christian will act like a fool. And we just don't believe God. Remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus? The Lord was fairly strong with them, Luke 24:25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. I think those two disciples, Cleopas and his friend, that rang in their minds for years to come. O fools and slow of heart to what? Believe what the Bible says. And we play the fool when we're disobedient. Folks, every time we know to do something, we ought to do it. And right there, God will give us blessing. And when we put our hearts on the wrong things, and 1 Timothy talks about that materialism will get you into foolish and hurtful lust. Number two, redeem the time. As we need to move on here, speaking of time, redeeming the time because the days are evil. As we are circumspect, letting the Spirit of God help us carefully navigate the spiritual minefields, and we are clearly taking the right steps, we are able then to redeem the time that God has given to us. The word redeem has the basic meaning of buying, especially of buying back or buying out. The Greek is in the middle voice, and that's just the idea that you do something yourself, indicating that we are to buy the time up for ourselves, for our own, not for our own, for our own use, but in the Lord's service. Now, we need to realize that each of us has a, understand that we have a limitation of time. I think we realize that, but you know, I don't think often we think about it. Young people, it seems like you got all the time in the world. But it will go very quickly. And folks, we do not know when Christ could come. It would not surprise me at all. 2024 is the year. Could be the year. And so we need to have that kind of perspective. But even the word here is important for us to look at. Paul did not use chronos. That's the term for clock time, the continuous time that is measured in hours, minutes, and seconds. He rather used kairos, which denotes a measured, allocated, fixed season or epoch. The idea of a fixed period is also seen in the use of the definite article in the Greek text, which refers to the time, a concept often found in Scripture. God has set boundaries to our lives, and our opportunity for service exists only within those boundaries. Now, folks, two aspects of this. God knows how long you're going to live. And He knows how the will of you living in the will of God will accomplish within that time period that's allotted to you, whether it'll be accomplished. He doesn't see it as unending. He knows our limitation. Secondly, there are seasons in life. And people miss the opportunities. They take the southern route instead of the northern into Death Valley. They miss the opportunity to develop. They miss the opportunity that they could have had if they had been walking in the will of God. What has God gotten, has for you in 2024? Listen, every moment's a new beginning. And many times new beginnings occur. All of a sudden, God gives you an idea. All of a sudden, a person comes across your path that is key for the next steps in God's will. God knows exactly what he's doing and how he puts things together. And if we are living foolishly, if we are self-centered, if we're not living in victory, if we're not overcoming by the grace of God the sin in our life, we're going to miss that allotted time to be able to see God do what he wants to do. 1 Peter 1:17, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And so we need to maximize that set time that God has given to us. And a lot of times we're not walking with God. We don't know what to do. It's like a driver at a red light, and it's not for this reason, but don't you get irritated when you sit behind somebody and then it turns green and you're in a hurry and they're texting or doing something and you don't want to honk your horn? You're a Christian, but it almost becomes a necessity. Well, anyway, it's sort of like this kind of situation. The green light comes and this driver wants to confirm that it's really green, looks at it from every side. Is this really green, or is it am I thinking this right? And then it turns yellow. Well, it's red again. And then it comes back to green, not sure whether to move. That's obviously ridiculous. That person has a problem, but that's the way we live life. Listen, God leads directly. His word is specific. It's clear. When you take a step with the Lord, then there's more illumination for the next step. And so we are able to take spiritual advantage of the time, redeem, buy back, buy it all up. And how important it is. A study revealed that an average 70-year-old man has spent 24 years sleeping, 14 years working, 8 years in amusements, 6 years at the dinner table, 5 years in transportation, 4 years in conversation, 3 years in education, and 2 years in studying and reading. His other 4 years were spent in miscellaneous pursuits. Of those 4 years, he spent 45 minutes in church on Sundays. It's not here. But anyway, and 5 minutes were devoted to prayer each day. This adds up to a not at all impressive total of 5 months that he gave to God over 7 years of his life. Even if you've been a really faithful churchgoer who attended church, Sunday school, and 3 services per week, you'd still only spend 1 year and 9 months in church. You see, we're not talking about church attendance. We're talking about each one of us are to walk worthy of the calling that God has given to us. How much are we taking advantage of the time that God has given to us? The 16th century reformer Melanchthon kept a record of every wasted moment and took his list to God in confession at the end of each day. It's a small matter that God used him in great ways. That would work. Keep a diary of every wasted moment. You become very aware of it. And that definitely is an issue, especially with all the distractions we have for us as believers today. And then we need to understand the seriousness of our calling. The days are evil. Why do we need to take advantage of the time? Not because we can have a great time and serve God. It certainly is a great time to serve God. Not because of anything for us, but folks, the need is enormous. The days are evil. By the days are evil, Paul may have specifically had in mind the corrupt and debauched living that characterized the city of Ephesus. The Christians there were surrounded by paganism and infiltrated by heresy, greediness, dishonesty, and immorality. And, that we can either react to or be broken by. redeem the time, because these people need deliverance. The days are evil. Folks, we wouldn't have dreamed 20 years ago where we'd be in 2023, 24. We should have known, but we don't. We didn't. Now, we can either wring our hands and get all upset and be very self-focused and get angry at the administration and angry at all the people that think humanistically and totally unbiblically, or we can realize we need to be walking with God, because these people need to be delivered. Their lives are absolutely being wrecked by Satan and by sin. You know, it'll change your attitude toward people in authority if you'll follow 1 Timothy chapter 2. I do want to encourage you, by name, all the key officials that are in your life governmentally, the Bible says you ought to pray for them, and I'll guarantee you it'll change your attitude toward them. They're lost souls in deep trouble. And I cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't see how these people can be saved. But they are souls that you died for. So I'm going to get on your side about seeing them saved. You know, I really believe if we as Christians would really pray that way, I think some of them get saved. I really do. But it'll change your attitude toward everything. We can either just live angry, or we can understand this is a day of great opportunity because the need is so great. And people know that the need is great. And then number three, we need to understand the will of God, verse 17. Wherefore, he goes back to verse 15, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. This is reinforcing what he's already said. We are not to be willingly foolish. Now, we lose a little of the impact of this verse because unwise seems not so bad. But this is not the same word for foolish. Foolish here, aphron, is a stronger word than asaphal in verse 15 about being a fool, alluding to, excuse the term, but this is what's stated here, stupid imprudence or senseless folly in action. Don't be foolish. You know the truth. Folks, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there will be no answer to Jesus. No answer at all. We will be, and again, I don't like to use the term, but we will know how stupid we were. How he had given us everything. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the fellowship of believers, the gifts of other believers, everything we need to live a life that is a life of genuine spiritual just victory in our souls and awareness of the presence of God, it's there. But we made the decision not to listen to God. We made the decision not to follow him. And so, therefore, we need to concentrate on the will of God. And there in verse 17, to understand is to give the mind to something so as to get hold of it. It implies that an effort has to be made, so it has the sense to try to grasp. The object of this determined attempt at apprehension is the Lord's will. We are to be seeking moment by moment. The minute we wake up and we go to bed at night, all throughout the day, what is your will, Lord? It's not my life, it's your life. We can say we believe that we're not our own, but folks, do we live like it? And we have here a very definite command. We will not understand being filled with the Spirit if we do not endeavor to comprehend moment by moment the will of God. When Emmanuel Sandon was seeking God's will for his life, R.A. Torrey gave this sage advice that you've heard. Follow God's leading step by step and you will find the way. You see, the Apostle Paul was very much in tune with the Spirit of God, and so the Holy Spirit was able to say, don't go to Bithynia. Then the Spirit of God was able to say, go to Macedonia. That wasn't in his plans at all. But he had the heart that was open, and he was in communion with God so he could be directed. So we are to live in the will of God. That's what it's saying. So simple, but we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. We need to know Christ as Savior. It's the will of God for every person in this room to be a child of God. If you've never trusted the Lord, his will for you, it was proven by his coming to the cross, is for you to have everlasting life. Isn't that wonderful? That's his will. He wants you to be with him forever. It's God's will that we should be spirit-filled moment by moment, abiding in him. That's his will. Anything outside of genuinely having that realistic walk with God is out of the will of God. That's a strong statement. But if you go through a day just sort of muddled and not really aware of the Lord, folks, that's not the will of God. That's how you get a little bit further and further away from what God's will is. By being sanctified, we need to be regularly growing. Romans 12:2, we quote it all the time. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, what? Will of God. A living sacrifice, as verse 1 says. And my friends, as we look at this year, it's not coming up with a nice little resolution here or there. If we really want this year to ring in a tremendous way, if we want it to finish in a tremendous way, we've got to understand, we've got to be as serious as these verses are about knowing the will of God by redeeming the time and walking very carefully, not being foolish in what we do. And so God's will is that we're to live for others. God's will is for us to have a worthy walk. God's will is for us to be thankful in all things. And we can go on and on. So in conclusion, we need to have the same kind of heart that the Lord Jesus had. John 4:24, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Have you finished what God intended you to do in 2023? It's a convicting question. Have you really known what God wants you to do in 2023? Well, we can put that behind us. Forget those things which are behind. Learn from it. Well, don't you think it'd be a great goal to be able on December the 31st, 2024, to look back and say, I finished the work? Not perfect, but I knew what God's will was this year, and I, day by day, I was so walking with God that every day was a life of miracles. Every day was a life in which God was working. I'll conclude with this. The famous Bible commentator, Matthew Henry, many of you have used his commentaries, wrote the resolution. This resolution is journal on January 1st, 1705. Not renouncing, but repeating and ratifying all my former covenants with God, and lamenting it that I have not lived up more closely to them, I do in the beginning of this new year solemnly make a fresh surrender of myself, my whole self, body, soul, and spirit to God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, my Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, coveting and promising, and not in any strength of my own, for I am very weak, but in the strength of the grace of Jesus Christ, that I will endeavor this year to stand complete in all the will of God. I know this is the will of God, even my sanctification. Lord, grant that this year I may be more holy and walk more closely than ever in all holy conversation. I earnestly desire to be filled with thy holy thoughts, to be carried out in holy affections, determined by holy aims and intentions, and governed in all my words and actions by holy principle. Oh, that a golden thread of holiness may run through the whole web of this year. That's the will of God. It's exciting that it is the will of God. That's freedom. So, folks, let's walk circumspectly. Let's don't be foolish. Let's realize there's a time period right now we need to take advantage of. We'll not get it again. And that we need to walk in wisdom. We need to not make decisions that will get us out of the will of God. We can live 365 days in the will of God. Let's bow for prayer.